And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road is not in Nashville, Tennessee. He is in Indianapolis for the NFL Combine. Joe, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing great. I decided to dress up for Jared today. So, Jared, I hope you're watching, buddy.
Oh, it's a good-looking jacket you got on there, my friend. Joe Rex Road looking sharp at 6 a.m.
I wore this jacket just for you, Jared. There is no way we're going to get in any fights today.
Michelle, how's life? What's going on?
Doing good over here. Joe, I was going to say you look dapper this morning. I was going to say something if you didn't. I was like, that's a blazer, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got it from the network.
Yes.
There's a joke. Oh, you get it, Robbie? You got me? Yeah. All
right. I didn't, as per usual.
But it's a movie we've told you many times to watch.
I'll put it on the list.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yes.
Put it on the list. Keep it on the list.
Yeah. It's one of Joe's all-time favorites.
Yeah, sometimes it may be number one.
I was going to say, it's up. I feel like it's really up near the top of his list.
Could watch it every day.
How was Indianapolis yesterday, Joe? How was the great Trent Baalke?
Yeah, it was good. A media member who, here's another pop culture reference. A media member who I won't name said, "Now when you go." Talk to Trent Baalke. I want you to think about Funkhauser from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Okay.
So you got what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's incredible. It's uncanny. He is Funkhauser.
I can't say that I've ever actually heard Trent Baalke talk. So I have to keep an eye for that.
Well, in fact, I'm going to send you my audio. It's okay. Amazing.
Please do.
So I'm sitting there just like I'm like stifling laughter. I mean, he was fine. Like his answers were fine, you know, but I'm just thinking about Funkhauser. So, and by the way, that's Super Dave. Rest in peace, Funkhauser. The actor who played Funkhauser.
Yep.
He did break a little news that, Shad Khan was going to hire an EVP to sort of share the power at the top. And that's not the case. Also, Shad, I don't know if you saw this, but he put out a statement yesterday.
Yeah.
I think basically what happened is Baalke talked to media there and said, no, it's going to be me. It's going to be Doug Peterson. And so obviously, and there aren't a ton, but you know, like our guy, Mike DiRocco was there, you know, friend of the show.
Oh yeah.
A couple people who cover the Jags. Someone must have said, okay, can Shad Khan confirm this? And he put out a statement that in part said Doug Peterson has changed our culture. So
oh god.
He's been in the building like 2 weeks. He's just changed the culture.
He's been in the building for 2 weeks and has not been around the players, but the culture has changed in Jacksonville. Yeah,
exactly. Like basically, Baalke's like, you know, he's nice. He comes in every day. He's got a great attitude, and okay, that's good. He's got a head coaching job. I mean, Doug Peterson. And in all seriousness, like I think Doug Peterson is they could have done way worse than Doug Peterson.
Yeah,
as their coaching hire. I think he's a good coach, and you know this is what happens: is a team cycles down, and then who's going to get scapegoated for it? It's going to be the coach, but. Yes, the fact that he actually put out a statement that he has changed our culture while like no one's in the building is pretty amazing. The office furniture just feels different, man. It's just fantastic.
I swear that franchise is the gift that keeps on giving. Did anyone ask him if he's attempting to break an NFL record for coaches hired at any point? 4 in 4 years is good.
No, that would have been good. And I was standing right there and I totally botched the opportunity. So, right after that, Arthur Smith's going and you know, we're going to have Ben Arthur on later. And, you know, Ben went right to a Tannehill question and he's like, nope, sorry, stiff arm on that one. So, you know, just just all kinds of fun here at the Combine.
The real question of the day is, did you make it for the Dan Campbell press conference?
Yeah, I didn't. It's been a big failure for me on the Dan Campbell front. I had too much work to do. I had to transcribe it. I'm writing three different things right now, and I'm just making excuses. And I really did. They used to do these things more in areas where you like would sit down. They've done it at different places and a little bit more press conference type things, in which case you could sit there, get some enjoyment, but then be working. But like they're all stand arounds, you know, now. So like either you're there for that time and you're standing and trying to listen, or, you know, if you want to work, you have to go somewhere else. So I had to work. I'm sorry. So I feel bad. I did talk to our Lions writer, Chris Burke, last night at a athletic event, and he told me some good Dennis Campbell stories. They love him. I mean, everybody who covers him is a huge fan, just in terms of, you know, he's honest. He talks to people, all that stuff. Yeah. But, you know, you can imagine with him at his pressers, like imagine how he acts at his pressers and what he's like, you know, away from a press conference. Right.
Yeah.
So Dan Campbell fan club going strong. So,
you talk about changing a culture. That's what's taking place in Detroit. I don't think there's any question about that.
Well, hey, you know, there could be an open door in the NFC North. Who's going to bust through it? Well, I don't know.
Could be. Maybe it's Detroit. Joe, big win for the Vols last night, 75-68 against Georgia. They struggled out of the gate and then figured it out as the game went on last night. Josiah James, 23 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. You'll take that from Josiah James. Pretty impressive performance from him last night, shooting 8 of 12 for the field.
Yeah, much needed. I mean, they're losing in the second half. I mean, again, Georgia's one of those teams that's just good enough to lose a lot of close games. But that was kind of the trap game thing, and it kind of looked like it. So huge for that. You know, you don't want to rely on that. You're not going to get that every night in the NCAA tournament. But the fact that he right now is capable of coming out and carrying a team offensively along with everything else he does, man, I don't think he gets nearly enough credit for what he is as a player and how important he is. You know, and I think some of it is he came in as a 5-star and people are wondering, is he a one and done? And, you know, he's not. I think he's going to be a 4-year player, but he's a really important player. And when he hits shots, you know, that's big, because obviously earlier this year he had that terrible stretch. So, you know, big for them to get that, keep it rolling, get a big opportunity against Arkansas. And then, Zakai Ziegler, as we found out last night, family house burned down.
Yeah.
Don't really know any details. Rick Barnes talked about it, and they're going to set up, because this is where Vol Twitter, you know, stuff like this, you know, Vol Twitter can be evil. Vol Twitter can do bad, but Vol Twitter can do good too. Vol Twitter can do like it. So this is where, you know, and you got to have it set up correctly and everything, but I imagine a lot of people are going to be wanting to support that. So, but that's tough news.
Yeah, tough news for sure. And they said basically last night they were going through the process compliance-wise to make sure that works, but something's going to work out for Zakai Ziegler there. And I would imagine that he and his family will receive a lot of help. Just can you imagine like getting the news that your family's house is burned down and then trying to go out there and play? I mean, you could tell Rick Barnes talked about this after the game. You know, he was not really all there last night mentally, and how could you blame him when something like that happens?
Yeah, no, it's, man, tough. But, you know, like, apparently no, you know, like serious injury or anything like that. So that's, yeah. I mean, that's the most important thing. But, yeah, it can't have been easy. And then the last minute of the Vanderbilt game, like that's an all-timer, man.
Yeah.
That's an all-timer. I, you know, 9-0 run, like in the last, I don't even know how many seconds off the top of my head, like 40 seconds.
Yeah.
9-0 run for Florida. I mean, it's over. And that's a huge win for Vanderbilt to get to 15-14, to beat a, you know, an NCAA tournament quality team. to avoid the first day of the SEC tournament, et cetera, et cetera. And incredible. You get the turnover, trying to get fouled, and they hit the three, and then Pippen misses a 1-0. I mean, 44 seconds to go. Vanderbilt led 78-73. Like, and, you know, Stackhouse said after the game, it's like we're living in a nightmare. And I think that's, you know, on that, like, he and Vanderbilt fans can just wholeheartedly agree.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Well, as you can imagine, there was quite the response to that quote on Twitter last night of, yeah, buddy, yeah, we sure are. Vanderbilt fans, they took that one and ran with it last night. Not a good night to be a Jerry Stackhouse defender last night. Vanderbilt fans were hot on social media.
Yeah, see, but so I'm trying to figure out. I mean, obviously, losing is losing, you know? So losing's on the coach, winning's on the coach. I don't know that there was anything he did there where, you know, it's like that was a coaching.
Right.
I mean, you know, like they didn't get the inbound in. They, you know, Jordan Wright maybe helped a little too much off to go double Castleton. I mean, you could say maybe be a little bit more in between, but, you know, it was a really good quick pass out and a quick shot, and he hit it. And then, you know, Pippen gets fouled and misses the free throw. And he's, you know, that Vanderbilt's had a lot of, like, miss a layup right there or miss a free throw this year that could have been a win. So, yeah, I mean, look, Stackhouse is going to take the blame. I mean, that's, they lost, but I didn't think that was like a quote-unquote coaching loss, unless I missed something.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Row, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Kyle texting in says, Robbie and Joe, good morning. Are y'all ready to be up until midnight watching the Preds? I hate West Coast games. This coming from Kyle on the text line. I'm going to give it my best effort, Joe. Best effort.
Yeah, I'm keeping an open mind.
That's right. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line. When we come back, we'll look ahead to John Robinson and Mike Vrabel speaking today at the NFL Combine. What do we think the Titans could do with their first-round pick in the draft? We'll get to that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game tomorrow night for the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade. You can have drink specials, enter to win Preds tickets, and watch the Preds take on the Seattle Kraken. It's the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South. Puck drops at 9 o'clock tonight, so make sure you're ready for that little West Coast trip tonight for the Nashville Predators. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road is live from Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. John Robinson and Mike Vrabel will speak later today. So looking forward to that conversation, especially with J-Rob. You know, I'm interested to see what Vrabel has today too, but today does kind of feel like more of a general manager day when you're at the combine. Maybe you should give Vrabel the day off.
I think Mike needs to sit right there and tell us why his press conferences stink. Why do they stink, Mike? Why do they stink? But yeah, I guess with some teams, I was going to say maybe with some teams, there's like more questions about, you know, current play, but even that stuff would be at least a split GM coach. I mean, some teams probably have, you know, coaches who like to say more than when the Raiders had, you know, Mayock and Gruden, you probably still get more information on personnel from Gruden than from Mayock. I mean, like, you know, you have some dynamics like that, or it just depends on the person. But certainly in this case, yeah, I think it's a lot more of a J-Rob day. A lot of questions. And, I mean, like, even DeRocco yesterday, even Trent Baalke. And I, for a minute, I'm like, there was like three people around him. I'm like, oh, my gosh. There's no one coming to this, you know, but you get what you have is you have a lot of people who are working on sort of like big picture stories where like Kaharsky popped in there. Yeah. Hey, Trent, that's my Kaharsky impersonation at 6:18 in the morning.
Nice.
How you doing, Trent? It doesn't sound like him at all, but he's doing a story on being able to split the dead money if after June 1st with trades and what that might do. So he asked Trent that question. He went around the room, I imagine, and that. So you have a lot of that. Like, I'm working on this. I'm going to go around to like six people and ask this, you know. And Trent Baalke, by the way, said, that's a good question. I have no answer for you. But
good.
Yeah, basically. He's like, I hadn't thought about that. Good question, though.
Good gracious.
But based on the crowds I'm seeing here at these things, like Duraco got, I don't even think Duraco got a second question in. Duraco got a question in, and then he kept trying to get another one in, and he kept getting cut off. So I'm probably going to get like one, maybe two on J-Rob. So, but also there's a whole bunch of questions that he needs to be asked today that I think he will be asked. That's why you count on the collective to sort of go through all the, you know, the obvious ones. There's quite a few.
As you mentioned, we'll have Ben Arthur from the Tennessean on later today at 8:00. I did see the video clip of him attempting to ask Arthur Smith about Ryan Tannehill, and Arthur Smith was not willing to go down that road. It was pretty funny.
Yes. Yeah. I texted Ben. And I said, how dare you ask the other Arthur about Ryan Tannehill?
I'm focused on the Falcons. I pull for those guys. We're not playing them, but I'm focused on the Falcons. Thank you, Coach. Yeah. Appreciate you.
Yeah. Arthur Smith still enjoying media availabilities. Hopefully he got some good time with Kaharski yesterday.
So we talked about the mock draft yesterday from Mel Kiper Jr. Had the Titans selecting Jahan Dotson in the first round at number 26 overall. I think wide receiver is certainly well within the realm of possibility for the Titans to select with their first round pick. I'm interested in particular in three guys at wide receiver, not specifically just for the Titans and what might happen with those guys when they're available, but three guys that are familiar around here with SEC fans who have all either sustained big injuries recently or are coming off big injuries, and that is George Pickens, John Metchie, and Jameson Williams. Like, those are three guys that if you've watched Georgia and Alabama play the last couple of years, you know, with Williams, it was really this year with Alabama, when they're total game changers, they're all coming off significant injuries. I'm interested to see how that affects where they're drafted. Like, I think people like basically forgot about George Pickens last year, and then he came back in the playoff. They're like, oh yeah, George Pickens, how about that? Like, he's a pretty darn good player. And if he's fully healthy, I'm interested to see where those guys go.
Yeah, I could see Pickens being one of those guys who, like, this is the type of week that helps a Pickens, yeah. You know? And I don't know if, like, I don't know if he's running or not, but I mean, you know, even just being visible, being at this thing, and if he has a good week in whatever he does, you know, not that it's more, honestly, like, someone like that's probably more like coming back into the radar for media than these guys who, you know, have to do this for a living. But he's certainly an intriguing prospect. And I could see him, who knows? I mean, I could see him being a first-round pick. I think he's that good. I think he's that talented. Mechie's one of those. He's probably, I don't know, I'm just guessing here. I'm not going off mock drafts. I think Mechie's probably like a good value receiver in this draft. I don't think he's a first-rounder. You know, is he like a third-rounder or something like that? I don't know. Maybe I'm underrating him a little bit. The injury does – like, it, you know, the injury hurts some people more than others.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you're a super talent, like, to me, like Jameson Williams is, you know, then like, or Pickens, then I think people are like, great, I can get a value here. But I think like a guy like Metchie, I don't know what, I think Metchie's good. He's going to be an NFL receiver, but he might be someone that you could get a little bit later.
Well, that's what I'm interested to see. And I obviously, like, Metchie and Williams, they're not going to run, obviously, because they have torn their ACLs not that long ago. So
right.
We're not going to see anything from them at the combine. I mean, I guess if you're interested in those guys and they're around at the combine, I guess you're getting a medical on them. Like, that's your big test to see, like, all right, like, how's this thing coming along and how is this healing? But I don't know. Those three guys to me are very intriguing. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, you mentioned Dotson. Talk about getting a burner. Like, maybe that's what this Titans offense is missing, is a guy that just has blazing speed, whether that's in the slot or outside, that can take the top off the defense and give this team an element that they really not have. Like AJ Brown is fast. Julio Jones is fast. I don't know that I would classify either one of them, especially at this point in Julio's career, as a burner. So if you could do that, if you're the Titans, that'd be something that I think a lot of Titans fans are intrigued by.
Yeah, I mean, that was Julio back in the good old days. You know, it's amazing. Recently, they had a clip. I don't know what it was on. I think it was on the NFL Network, but they were just talking about Julio, and they had some old highlights of him, and they had a highlight of him catching up to somebody who was trying to, you know, like run in a pick six.
And like, I mean, DK Metcalf style? Yeah.
Oh, and it was like from 30 yards behind, and he was so, so far and beyond the fastest guy on the field, you know? It's like, oh, that's right. That's right. Julio Jones back then. Yeah, no, I think the vertical, I mean, they found the receiver, you know, with AJ Brown. They finally found the receiver, but they're still searching, as they've been searching for a long time, for the pure speed receiver who is good enough to, you know, to play, good enough to be a productive, consistent receiver. I mean, Taywan Taylor is probably the fastest guy they've drafted over the years. Just purely speed, but even, he's fast, but he wasn't like fast like some of these guys that they could potentially get. So I think Jameson Williams, purely from that aspect, has to be intriguing to them.
Well, I think he does too. And I will say, and I know TD has been kind of all over this as well, but Wandale Robinson from Kentucky, I mean, he's a guy that you could probably get a little bit later that, to me, is very intriguing too. He had a heck of a year last year, obviously, and, you know, a guy that I think could be a pretty good NFL player. Now, you know, I don't know if he's a sure thing like some of these other guys, but Wandale Robinson to me is pretty darn good.
Like the slot slash shoot, maybe hand him the ball or whatever type guy. Like, I like him a lot. And yeah, there's another potential value. I mean, it feels like every year is a good receiver draft. You know, I think that just kind of speaks to, well, what offenses are doing now too, you know, what college offenses are doing feeding into the NFL, which they're doing more. I just feel like there's more volume of good receivers available, but, and also, you know, quite a bit of variety. So yeah, he's a guy who is probably, and I know Rondale Moore, you know, didn't have quite the year that I thought, but he was, you know, he had a good rookie year, but that, I they're different players, but I think of Wandale Robinson kind of the same way, you know, put him in the slot, move him around, yards after the catch, fun guy to watch.
BBN.
BBN. Got a texture that says Treylon Burks from Arkansas, an interesting guy too. And he could be a guy that I've seen, sure. And he may not be there when the Titans are picking at 26.
No, Treylon Burks. Oh, yeah, no. And he's the big physical. I mean, he's got the full, listen, we were talking about this last night with some Big Ten folks at the Athletic. I mean, David Bell is totally being slept on, I think, by media. David Bell from Purdue. Remember now, Tennessee fans, you remember that game, which was, you know, basically just you score, then we score, then you score, then we score. David Bell didn't play in that game. They have other receivers. David Bell, far and away, like, I actually fear to think what that game would have looked like with him on the field. He's tremendous. Someone's going to get a really good player, and I don't know. I don't see a lot of people saying he's a first-rounder. Man, then he's a really good second-rounder. There's a lot of possibilities. A
lot of possibilities, and I think it's very possible that the Titans could go wide receiver with their first-round pick. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. When we come back, I'll get to why I think the Predators may have hinted at a trade yesterday at practice. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. Speaking of the Preds, the all-new Paint the Town Preds pack is presented by Yeehaw Brewing and Old Smoky. You can purchase the pack and receive 2 weekend game tickets and 1 weeknight game ticket of your choice, plus receive a Preds car flag, a $25 Yeehaw Brewing Company gift card, and the opportunity to purchase 2022-23 season tickets as well. Visit NashvillePredators.com/paint to secure yours today. Get your Paint the Town Preds pack today and score your own hat trick, Smashville. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Joe Rex Road, I've just heard Trent Baalke talk for the first time, and my goodness, it is Funkhauser. It's unbelievable.
Ding, 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 ding.
Right on the money. It's incredible.
Or Super Dave. Well, yes, Super Dave's going way back. People who remember David Letterman. Bob Einstein, by the way, is the name of the actor.
Just incredible stuff. We may have to tweet that later. It's pretty awesome. So I was hanging out at Preds practice yesterday as they were preparing to take a trip to Seattle. By the way, Mark Borowiecki on the ice yesterday for the Predators. No Alex Carrier and no Nick Cousins. David Poile joined Darren Donica Chase yesterday and said maybe an outside chance that Carrier could play on Saturday against San Jose, but neither one of those guys on the ice yesterday. Borowiecki was back out there, and he looked fine to me. I'm not a doctor, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him in there tonight against Seattle. We talked to John Hines after, and Joe, we've talked here on the show about, you know, playing with Ryan Johansson. Who's going to be able to do that? Have they found someone in Philip Tomasino that maybe can handle that role as they move down the stretch here? And John Hines had some interesting comments yesterday on that Johansson line and Philip Tomasino, and I think may have signaled what the Predators could be looking at come trade deadline time. Here's what John Hines had to say yesterday at Centennial Sportsplex at Preds practice.
What have you liked about Tomasino with Johansson?
You know, I think there's been some good and some areas that could be a little bit better. To be honest, I think Phillips played pretty well for the most part. I think that line in general can be a little bit better. So we'll see if we'll keep that combination together or not. I think some of the positives of it is I think when the line's connecting and going, I think that they are able to get some offensive looks. I think what we'd like more from that line or whoever's playing with Joey is more territory, more push, be able to play against other teams, you know, top lines. And so we think it's been good at times, and it's also been average at times. So
what's that challenge like of as a coach? You've got a line that, you know, obviously you're trying to find somebody to play with that line with Johansson. You've got two other lines with the Sissons line and Granlund's line that are going so well. The balance of not trying to mess up those two lines, but also finding other combinations that work.
You hit the nail right on the head. Yeah. It's, you know, it's something that we talk a lot about. You know, we obviously like 64's line has been very consistent. I think 10's line has been very consistent. Joey's line, I think, has been good at times, but we've also rotated his wingers around quite a bit. And, you know, trying to find it's one of the things we're trying to drill down on what would be some good combinations. And I think, you know, we've tried multiple guys there, and you know, it's something I think we may try some different looks on this road trip to see if we can get more four line depth going. But it's something that we do talk about as coaches with the management and try to drill down on what would be the best combinations. And I think that the challenging part has been that a lot of the combinations we've had with Joey has been good in spurts, right? But we haven't, like, those other two lines have been locked and loaded for a long time now, where Joey's has been up and around. I think Joey's is having a really good year, but trying to surround him and find a line that's really going to click, you know, has been challenging without breaking up Granlund's line and Sissons' line. But that'll be, you know, a decision we'll have to make.
That was John Hines yesterday at Preds practice. And Joe, I came away from that conversation with a couple of different thoughts. Number one, I think it's pretty obvious that they are searching for somebody to play with Johansson at this point. You know, Tomasino, I think, has done some good things the last couple of games. John Hines did not sound to me very committal that was going to be a line that continues very long here. Said maybe they switch that up here in the next couple of games. They did practice together on a line yesterday, so we'll see what happens in this game tonight against Seattle. But he also talked about how well the other two lines are playing with Sissons and with Granlund's line. I think we've talked about that too. That's pretty obvious at this point. I think it's clear that they don't want to break those two lines up and that they're searching for somebody to play with Johansson. And I don't know that somebody is internal. And I don't think that they know that somebody is internal. I don't know. I walked away from that conversation yesterday thinking to myself, yeah, if they make a move, it's going to be for somebody to play with Johansson. Like, they are obviously searching for somebody to play with him. And John Hines, he pretty much said that yesterday without coming out and saying it.
My takeaway is John Hines said you hit the nail on the head, but I think your point is also another is also valid here as well, hitting the nail on the head here too. I think for sure it's like he said, like locked and loaded, like those two lines, you can't, right? If you have two lines going like that, you can obviously you can give yourself fewer lines that are going like that if you break lines up. So I think I think that totally makes sense. You know, like, let those lines do what they do. It's good to have two lines producing and playing as well as they are. But, do you think that was a hint or even like a little, nudging David Poile? Like, hey, David,
I don't think that it probably was. I don't think it was intentional from John Hines. It's probably just me coming away with it. But it's just it makes too much sense to me. Like, if you're looking for something at the deadline, if you're the Predators, like, you've been trying to find somebody to play with Ryan Johansson all year long. Luke Cunningham's been there pretty consistently as of late. Philip Tomasino has come up the last couple of games. He scored a goal against Dallas, had a nice play on the power play. But 5-on-5, like, that Johansson line has not generated much. And I agree with Hines. I think Johansson's played pretty well for the most point this year. But the words, he used the word trying to surround him with other players that can help. Like, at some point, if you're not going to move Janot up there, which I don't think they want to do, and you're not going to mess with that Granlund line, which I know they don't want to do, like, you're running out of options to who's going to play with Johansson and make a difference. So to me, like, if I had to identify one clear spot where they need help right now, that's the spot. Like, they got to find somebody to play with Ryan Johansson.
So, how high do you reach if that's what you're thinking,
Well, like, that's the million-dollar question because, when I think of bring somebody in that can play with Ryan Johansson, I'm thinking of somebody that could be an expensive buy at that point. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be like Claude Giroux or somebody like that, but what's the maximum price you're willing to pay? Like, are you willing to give up a second rounder? Are you willing to give up a prospect in your system? I would be, surprised if the Predators were willing to give up a first round pick at the deadline this year. I'm not saying that it's totally off the table, but I would be surprised if that happened. So what are you willing to give up if you're David Poile? And what's kind of that max level, that top price that you're willing to spend in order to make this happen? Because to me, like, if you're going to bring in a top six level forward, the price is going to be high at the deadline. Now, I go back to a guy like Callie Yarncroke, who we'll see tonight. Could he play with Ryan Johansson and maybe be a better option than they have right now? Yeah, I think he could. So maybe the price isn't that high, but I'm interested to know, like, if this is a route that the Predators and David Poile want to pursue and bring him some help, what's the price you're willing to pay to do it?
I mean, yeah, it's on the one hand, it's like, well, wait a minute. You're still sort of, you're trying to, you've done a good job here. You've kind of replenished your farm system looks better. You got some good young players. So, like, why are you now considering all of a sudden going right back in there and withdrawing from the register,
Yep.
On the other hand, it's like, well, either, like, you don't want to be half doing something, right? Like, if you actually think that if you have someone in mind who you think will fit perfectly, I mean, that's going to cost you. I would tend to drift toward more like the Yarncroke type of a situation. I mean, what if they went and got someone who, like a top six type of player and spent the type of the type of assets it would require, and then don't have Philip Forsberg sign at the deadline?
Whew. That's a lot
rentals,
of
rentals galore, baby.
Yeah. Look, I mean, that's still on the table. I mean, that's a lot of risk. I mean, I also think if you're a Predators fan, you could think about it this way. I think you feel so good about that Sissons line and the way that they're playing. Now, look, they're not ever going to be, just this machine offensively with the way that they score, but they're scoring pretty consistently right now with Janot and with Trennan especially. You feel great about the way that line plays. I mean, the Grambling line, I think their production speaks for itself this year. If you could add another line to that, if you could have three dangerous lines in the playoffs, I mean, I'd feel a whole lot better about this team's chances. I know that. I mean, you know this, in the playoffs, a lot of times your top line, it doesn't necessarily get shut down, but there's a lot of attention paid to that top line. It would be nice to have some other options to have some scoring. Like, you're going to need some big goals. If you're going to make a playoff run, I mean, you're going to need some big goals from multiple lines. And, you know, like I said, I really like the way that Ryan Johansson is playing. I think Ryan Johansson is at his best when he's got somebody to get the puck to. And right now, I just don't think he's got somebody to get the puck to on his line.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like Cousins will come back. And I mean, I like Cousins. You know, if Cousins after coming off his injury, you know, he's had some good stretches. I mean, I look at Tolvanen, and that would seem to be a possibility, but I don't know. Like, Tolvanen's shot just looks different to me this year.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
What's up with that?
I don't know. It's, there's been a couple where he'll let it rip, and you're like, okay, yeah, there's that shot again, but it's not been anywhere near as dangerous this year, I think. And I think he's had a difficult time getting in good spots to use it as well. We'll continue the conversation on the Predators. Bob, hang with us. We'll get to you on the other side as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, talking Nashville Predators, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bob from Antioch, who wants to weigh in. Bob, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning, guys. Did either of you hear anything about how Gary Bettman or other NHL officials felt about how the city hosted the stadium series game? And my other question is, do you think Nashville could ever possibly be awarded a Winter Classic, or is the fact that it's right in the middle of the NFL season pretty much negating that chance?
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. I appreciate it. Number one, for your first question, yes, all the reaction that I've heard based on some people I've talked to with the NHL, they loved it. And they think Nashville did an outstanding job. We had Dan Rosen on the other day. He said, you know, maybe top five outdoor game of all time. I know some people on TNT have called it the best outdoor game of all time. I mean, it was, I think, pretty widely well received. As far as the Winter Classic goes, Joe, like, to me, that'd be pretty hard to pull off with the schedule currently being what it is. You know, the Winter Classic takes place on New Year's Day. You got the Music City Bowl that's around the 30th every year. The Titans are still playing in the regular season at that time. I don't know how you're pulling off a Winter Classic at Nissan Stadium with the schedule currently being what it is.
Neyland Stadium.
I've actually thought about that. Nice Preds, Hurricanes, Neyland Stadium Winter Classic.
There you go. See?
Meet closer to the border over there.
You could do Capitals too. Bring the Caps. The Caps down. You could do that. Yeah. Can you, like, I almost want to hear someone from the NHL or anybody say, Nashville, I don't know. It didn't really work out.
Wasn't that great?
Wasn't that cool? Not a great party, you know? It's not a great party town.
Now, having said that, like, Bettman, it could go really poorly, and Bettman would be like, yeah, it is.
Well, sure.
Great. Yeah. doing great.
But yeah.
That's part of being an NHL commissioner.
Right. No one's going to go up to the press conference and say, this was very disappointing, everybody. You never know with Bettman. But, hey, you know, Bettman, who at one time I used to think was the worst commissioner in sports, I don't at all think that. I think he's miles and miles and miles better than Rob freaking Manfred. Can we talk about him for a second?
Yeah.
His presser yesterday, laughing, and it's incredible. Baseball.
Practicing his golf swing as his sport falls apart before our very eyes. It was great stuff yesterday from Manfred.
What a joke, baseball. Jeez.
Atlanta Braves win the World Series, and they launch the game of baseball into the sun. It's over now. Unbelievable. Hey,
that's what you get, Braves fans. Thanks a lot.
Devin from Dover on the text line says, how much more time do you give Tolvanen if he doesn't improve? He should be one of the guys on that second line, but he's not playing to that level. Could he be traded? It's coming from Devin from Dover. Right now, like, I don't know what the trade value would be for Eli Tolvanen. I mean, would somebody be interested in him? Sure. But if I'm the Predators, like, I'm more willing, especially with the contract that he signed, I'm more willing to see if he can figure it out at this point. Like, it's kind of incredible, the conversation we're having with him, because everything that they wanted to see from him over the course of, like, the past 2 years, I feel like he's now doing, except for the scoring the goals part, right? Like, he went on that run last year where he was just lethal on the power play, and you thought to yourself, well, this could be the beginning of him, you know, having a surge here offensively and establishing himself. There are still other parts of his game that he needs to get better at. Like, I feel like he's gotten better in other parts of his game, and the scoring has just – it's just completely dried up for him this year. He's got 7 goals on the year.
Yeah, it's hard to understand. You know, it's kind of – yeah, like you said, I mean, it was always, okay, can he do enough to stay on the ice? You know, can he do all the little things in the game? Can he, you know, I guess it is the sort of the same thing with, can he get himself to his spots? I mean, that's, but obviously, I mean, like, you're not playing for John Hines, you know? I mean, we've seen that. It doesn't matter who you are. Contract, draft status, whatever. Like, there are some standards and expectations, which I think has been a part of their success here in the last couple of years. And he's obviously doing those things. Or, you know, doing them well enough. So why isn't that translating at all into scoring chances, into taking advantage of when he does get them? I have no great analysis other than when he shoots the puck, it doesn't look the same to me.
Well, it just doesn't come off the same, right? Like, it kind of feels like he's pressing a little bit out there. Now, I think the thing to keep in mind is, he is still 22 years old. I know it feels like he's been around here for a decade at this point.
I feel like he and Ben Jones are both, you know, like, the same age, but they're not.
You know? No, they're not. He's 22 years old. You know, I still think that he's capable of getting on a hot streak here and taking off with it. Now, the problem is, like, right now he's on the fourth line, and there's just not going to be much offensive production from him on the fourth line. It's just not going to happen. Now, where he has had the opportunity, and where I'm surprised it's not gone better, is the power play. Like, he's been on a power play unit for most of this year. It's not been the first unit like he was a year ago when it was, you know, you remember that. It was Josi, yeah. Forsberg, and Tolvanen, where it was basically pick your poison. And if you shift towards Tolvanen, Forsberg will shoot. If you shift towards Forsberg, Tolvanen will shoot. It's not quite as simple as that, but he's not on that unit anymore. He's been on the second unit for most of the year, but he's just not been, fortunate on the power play. You know, it just hasn't gone in for him this year on the power play. And that, to me, is probably the most surprising part about all this, is he's been basically a non-factor on the power play this year.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, the Tolvanen on the left, Forsberg on the right power play last year was the best power play stuff they've had in a long time, right? So first of all, like, I totally expected that to be carried over this year. It wasn't. Obviously, the first unit, you're not messing with that. It's been really good, but it has. I mean, I do wonder, like, if he had had the same opportunity, would he? Well, he'd probably have a couple more goals, but would it? I don't know. Would that help his game at all? I don't know. But it's always that. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I don't know. Like, I think it's a good question. He's just, you know, he's got one power play goal this year. If you'd have told me that 50 games in for him, he'd have one power play goal, I'd have told you were nuts heading into the year.
And then it's just, yeah, like, on the line he's on, he's not going to get a ton of opportunities. So, like, what's the value? You know, he's one of those players where it's like, if you start showing, if you get on a little bit of a heater, then it's like, okay, it makes sense to move him to me, you know? Okay, now put him in a situation where he's going to get a lot more opportunities, because, like, you've got something there. You know, you got to tap into that. I'm not saying do it now, because he's not, but it's also like chicken and egg with that a little bit. Like, maybe if he moved him, he would do it. But I know they've moved him around and stuff too. So it's going to be interesting. I still think it's really important. I mean, just as simple as, like, they need him to get going. They need to find some production from him. I mean, they have to find more in other spots, and he's just an obvious place to look.
Well, and some of it, I think, is a little bit of bad luck too, right? I mean, we talk about Philip Forsberg's shooting percentage and just how astronomical it is at 22.9%. I mean, he's basically shooting 23%. Tolvanen's at 6. He's got a 6% shooting percentage. I mean, I think there's some middle ground there. Like, you know, with a shot like his, like to me, he ought to shoot 10, 11, 12, 13%, and you're at 6. Like, that's a pretty significant difference.
It's like Klay Thompson, you know, it's like Steph Curry shooting 70% from three, and then Klay is shooting like 18% from three or something like that. Like, yeah. It doesn't make sense.
No, doesn't make sense. Which, by the way, they let me down last night on the FanDuel Sportsbook, but that's a story for another day. What's going on with your Warriors?
Well, they're half the defensive team that they should be without Draymond. It's been a long time, but I'm actually impressed that they've been as good as they have been overall without him. I mean, he's the centerpiece of their D. Plus, he's their point guard on offense, you know? So, I don't know, man. A back thing. He's supposed to be back soon. James Wiseman's supposed to be back. Klay Thompson has missed a few games lately with an illness. Hope it's just not a knee illness. I hope it's a, you know, just like a cold. But they'll be okay. They'll be there. They'll be there when it counts.
They'll be there in the end. We'll continue the conversation on the Nashville Predators. Some interesting comments made yesterday by Philip Forsberg on his contract status after Predators practice. We'll get to some of those coming up on the other side as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.